Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
After accepting a short-notice fight to step into the UFC Vegas 16 main event, my next guest made the most of that opportunity by earning a unanimous decision over Jack Hermanson following five hard-fought rounds. He now finds himself ranked among the top five middleweights in the world in the UFC. With that said, let's talk to my guest, Marvin Vettori. Marvin, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
It's good, man. All slashed up, but other than that, pretty good.
Well, let me start by saying congratulations, man. What an amazing performance and an amazing victory.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This is kind of the opportunity you've been waiting for. A top five opponent, a headlining spot, everything you kind of wanted. Outside of maybe getting the finish, I mean, could you imagine things playing out a whole lot better than they did in terms of the result?
No, wait, what?
I said outside of maybe, obviously, if you would have got the finish, that might have capped it off a little bit, you know, different. But, I mean, ultimately, going out there, proving what you said was true, getting the finish, you know, getting a big win over a top five opponent, doing it in a main event, five rounds. I mean, kind of like the perfect scenario, right?
Yeah. No, it felt good. And then, I expect nothing but the best out of me every time. So, yeah, I wanted to look for the finish, but then, as soon as I started, examining things objectively and seeing everything that went on, it was, you know, for the most of the part was definitely much more positive than negative. There was something negative, was very little things about some little situation that I could have done a little bit better in the fight, but overall was great, and getting the fight of the night, and I'm happy. And then I went like five rounds, putting on such a crazy pace, and I'm happy, man. I'm happy with my performance, and I think I did a lot of good things, I could have got the finish, but at the same time, you know, in a sense, it's almost even better. I went whole five rounds, and I proved everybody that I can go five hour rounds if I need to, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I know, you know, right after the fight, you were a little critical of your own performance, but I thought it was pretty brilliant. I mean, you get the knockdown in the first, and credit to Jack for sticking around, you know, showing great toughness. And then, you know, when you had a bit of an off round in the third round, a lot of people are saying, oh man, maybe the conditioning's wearing out on him, maybe the cardio is not as good as it should be. And then you come out even stronger in the fourth and fifth and like shut down those comments. So again, I thought it was a pretty great performance, especially considering all the different things you got to show in that fight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was, I feel like some of the commentators just watched my last fight and the Adesanya fight eventually, you know, because I feel like, some of the commentators were like, Marvin normally comes out like, he gets mad and he goes out all crazy and this and that. And I'm like, man, like, you probably just watched my last fight, I guess. Because if you would have seen all my other fights, you should know by now that, you know, like, I'm actually a very smart fighter, if anything, you know. He's like, you never see me in bad position. You never see me, you know, in overall trouble. And A lot of things, you know. Like, I feel like a lot of these guys, they're coming out, like they're just starting to see me now, and they didn't do their homework properly. But, you know, like, when it comes down to to fight and bring it for the whole time being. I'm gonna do it. It's not that, you know, I'm gonna slow down or anything. And the third round, you know, a lot of things goes on in a five rounds fight. And I right away felt that the third round was a little bit of a slow round. And I came back fourth and fifth, and I dominantly got every round after that third. And even the third, man, I don't even know if those shots, like, if the kind of shots that they gave was actually right, because he missed a lot. I was the only thing that he looked like he was gaining space and he was coming forward, and I give him that. But in terms of like how many shots he landed, I'm not sure if those stats are right, because he was missing most of them for sure.
Yeah. And also, you know, credit to Jack, you know, that first round when you knocked him down, I think a lot of other guys would not have gotten back up from that. You know, credit to him for showing good toughness. I'm sure you saw afterwards, you know, he said he had a broken orbital bone, and you know, he was definitely beat up afterwards. But I mean, credit to him for sticking around, because like I said, there's a lot of guys who couldn't have taken that many shots.
Yeah, no, he came in game and with a strong will to win, and he showed it, man. Like he was really tough. He was a really tough opponent. He was active the whole time. He dig deep when he needed to, and he tried to win until the end. And you know, like when two guys going to a fight convinced that they're going to win, you know, it's going to be a good fight. And I feel like that's how it was for both of us. I went in thinking that I was really sure I was going to win. And he thought the same. In fact, even on the, I heard some of his previous interviews, he was saying, oh, I'm going to put him on the third round. Oh, no, on the first round, like I'm going to submit him in the first round. I don't know if he was believing it in those words that he was saying, but I feel like he was definitely confident that he was going to win, and that's what makes a good fight, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So now, everything you've had to go through this year, Marvin, I mean, you know, considering the whole, you know, the Roberson fight, you know, the missing weight, him missing weight, well, a couple of times, but then falling out of the first fight, of course, and then, you know, rematch, and then, you know, dealing with, you know, waiting to get a big-named opponent, a ranked opponent, kind of having a lot of guys not, you know, showing interest in fighting you, and then you get Jacare, which is a great big fight, obviously, and then you get a call a week ahead of time, you know, do you want to move into the main event? I mean, can you kind of wrap up what this year has been like for you and your career, and kind of capping it off this way? I mean, capping it off with a huge win like this, now you're in the top five, now you're on your way to the title shot. Like, this is exactly what you always wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because it's been the hardest year, and probably, well, you know, like left out that time that I was out for that bullshit ass contaminated thing, you know, left out that year. This was definitely like a really hard year, but like turned out to be probably my most successful year for my career to until now. So you know, it's crazy how like dealing with adversity and coming out on top sometimes really really pays off, and staying strong throughout whatever comes at you, and just dealing with it, and just keep believing that, you know, good will happen, and keep staying on track, not breaking mentally, and you know, just staying on pays off at the end. And it did, man. It really did. This opportunity was massive. Thanks to Mick for making it happen again, because you know, like at the end of the day, when Holland went out, he could have called other guys, but you know, he gave me the call, and I was ready. I answered, and I made the most out of it. I was saying it before, and you know, I put my mouth where my I put my action where my mouth is, and then you know, I capitalized.
Yeah,
that's it.
Absolutely. So now coming out of the fight, Marvin, I know you had some scratches on your face and, you know, things like that, which we talked about post-fight, but in terms of your health, how are you feeling? Like, are you healthy? Because obviously, as I mentioned, Jack, you know, dealt with a couple, you know he's bumped and bruised up pretty bad right now. How are you feeling? The reason I'm asking that question, of course, is, you know, in terms of, like, you know, when you want to fight again.
Yeah, I'm close to brand new. Just a little bruised up on my elbow, but I'm close to brand new. Little bruised up elbow, scratched up face, but that will go away really quick, you know. So I'm close to brand new.
Yeah. So now, after the fight, of course, you know, you immediately mentioned the possibility of Paulo Costa, and then, of course, you said, hey, you know, why am I going to mess around Paulo Costa when I should just go right to the title shot? Obviously, you had that, you know, incredibly close decision with Israel.
You know, I did not have a plan when they asked me for Paulo Costa. You know, I just said it out. I just, on the top of my head, I was like, man, that could be a good fight. You know, it's number two contender, whatever it is. Let's do it. I just gave a name, you know. I don't like to be that guy shy to give out a name, but I should have thought about it a little bit more because, but anyway, not that I regret it. I'll fight everybody anyway.
Yeah.
But now the ranking just came out, and I think it makes, I mean, Darren still being number four, it's a joke. Really, it's a joke. But I think it'll be a great scrap if we fight, you know. And after I beat somebody like Darren Till, then, you know, I'll be the only guy basically to have two wins in the top five. And I don't know what will happen with Whitaker. But after that, I feel I will deserve a title shot. But I don't know, man. To be honest, like I said, I'm willing to fight anybody.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Darren Till, and obviously I saw another interview where you talked about Robert Whitaker. I think you and Whitaker actually said that on Saturday night right after you said the Paulo Costa thing just kind of off the top of your head. I posted on Twitter. I said, you know, that'd be a fun fight, but I got to be honest. I think you and Whitaker would make a lot of sense because obviously, you know, if he's not going to fight for the title, and I understand that because he did, you know, just lose to Israel a year ago, I think you and Whitaker does make a lot of sense, right? In terms of the rankings, in terms of the title contention, it does make a lot of sense, though, right?
Yeah, me and Whitaker, I would love to fight. You know, like I think he's legitimately the best after Israel, and after me in this division. But you know, he's definitely a very good test, and I would love to fight him, like. I will be good, and yeah, I mean, for as in terms of legitimacy, I think that would be the most like fair fight, you know. But you know, a lot of times things, I don't know, they go in different ways, and so I don't know, man. I don't know. It also depends on what like Israel it's going. I decide to do, and like what the UFC is going to decide to do with him, and you know, but like I said, it's you know, I'm not going to pick and choose, man. Like they give me a call with any of these guys, I'll be right there ready to answer and fuck them all up.
So whether it's Till, Costa, or Whitaker, one of those three,
I want to show some love to Cannonier too, if anything, you know, like I'm not, you know, if, you know, why would I leave out Cannonier too? Like, if you know, I have to be fair and square with everybody. I cannot leave out Cannonier. If Cannonier was also, offered, I'd be willing to fight Cannonier too.
Yeah. Let me ask you, I know you gave your opinion on Saturday night, but I got to ask you about, you know, the current champion, a guy that you obviously fought, you know, gave, you know, an incredibly tough fight for. We're not going to rehash the decision. We've talked about that in the past, but I know your opinion on Israel Adesanya, but how, you know, now that you're this close, like, can you just like feel it in your bones, like how close you are to that rematch and finally getting in there and kind of, you know, setting it right after what happened the last time?
Yeah, it's just so nice to prove this, I don't know how to even call him, you know, like this this, I don't know, like, well, you know, this guy wrong, and like, you know, I'm right, like, and to kind of like show him, I'm right back at your face, you know, I'm right here, motherfucker, just look in my eyes, like, I'm gonna be your worst fucking nightmare until you day, until the day you fucking retire. So, you know, that's what it is, and he I'm sure he's gonna, he's feeling it, like, he didn't say nothing, but, you know, he's feeling the pressure, like, there's nobody that is coming out with such an overwhelming, force, you know, in this division, and with such hunger and will to become the champion. There's nobody like this, you know, and he's definitely feeling, man. I would not, like, you know, if I had to defend the belt against me, I would not, like, be, like, I would not feel calm and relaxed, you know. I'd be feeling pretty stressed too. So I feel like he's feeling that way too.
Yeah, I know you mentioned, you know, the possibility of what's going on with Israel right now about going up to light heavyweight, and when they announced that, you know, at the time, you know, in a way, when I say it makes sense, I'm saying, like, at the time, you know, obviously Whitaker was coming off a win, and I, again, I understand, you know, not wanting to rematch that guy a year later. You just beat him. I get it. I'm not going to fault him for that. And then, you know, you look at Jan Blachowicz, you know, that's a big fight for him, you know, champion versus champion. But a lot has changed, you know, since then. Glover Teixeira went out there and obviously got a huge win over Thiago Santos, and now, obviously, you're a guy, you know, who has a history with Israel. You're in the division, but I don't know, like, where do you lie in this whole thing? Because obviously, you know, you sound like you're willing to fight somebody else just to, you know, secure your number one position in the division. I mean, is there a party that feels like maybe fighting Israel, if he becomes light heavyweight champion, maybe that's an even bigger fight? Or do you feel like he should just stay at middleweight and fight the next guy in line?
I think that he should fight the next guy in line, for sure. And if the UFC wants that fight, they can be 100% sure I'm going to answer that call, like I said, you know. And but you know, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, he feels like he's chasing that. I don't know, man. I feel like he wants to chase that, like, that kind of like greatness status, which is, you know, in a sense, is a little bit understandable, but by doing that, he has to prove a lot of things first, you know, and one of the things he has to prove is that he's the best, and to do that, he has to fight me. So wherever he goes, you know, he's right. I think that on his mind, he thinks that Blachowicz suits him well, because, you know, he's powerful, but he can be his striking can be read, you know, somehow, and he's going to be able to do that. And that's why he prefers that fight, you know? And plus, there is way less to lose, because he's like, yeah, well, I'm stepping up there. And if it doesn't go that way, I'm not losing my own title. I was just chasing an extra one, you know? But I don't know. I feel like he still did nothing. He still did not much, you know? Like, he beat Whitaker, and I feel like Whitaker that time didn't really perform the way he should have. And his fight with Yoel was horrible, and in a sense, I even thought he lost. And in his last fight, Costa beat himself before, but I mean, incredibly, like, I mean, you know, like, Israel still did his job. It's not that he didn't. He looked good, but what I'm saying is, like, he looked good against a guy that was already beaten the moment he stepped into that cage.
Yeah. And I know we've talked numerous times since that Adesanya fight, how much you've grown and improved and how much you're still growing and improving. And I'm sure that's a big part of that rematch, because I know, like, you still, obviously, in your mind, believe you beat him the first time. But regardless, how much you've changed and evolved since then, you feel like you are a much, much better, much different fighter now than even when you fought Israel a couple of years ago.
I feel like from 2 days ago, I'm already a better fighter, and I haven't even trained. I know for a fact, the moment I'm going to step into the gym again, I will feel different. It's almost like I leveled up again, you know? And yeah, I'm sure of it. And like I said, you know, that you can go back and watch this fight as much as you want. Next time I'm gonna come out, I'm gonna be a whole different animal again.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
That's me, you know. Like, you see these guys in the top five, you know, they reach level and they kind of stay there. You'll see me constantly improving throughout my whole career. Even when I get the belt, even when I defend it, every fucking time I'll come out better. So that will be my mark, you know. That will be like my best skill, like coming out all the time better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I think you told me when we spoke earlier this year, either before or after the Roberson fight, I feel like I remember you telling me when it was all said and done, you honestly believe by the end of 2021 you would be champion. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I remember you telling me that. But again, at that time, you still couldn't predict how things were going to play out. Now, you're right there. You've earned it. You're right there. At worst, you're one fight away from a title shot. It's got to feel good the way things played out that you got to know right now. At worst, you're one fight away from a title shot.
Yeah, no, it feels good, man. Yes, absolutely. It's insane. Like how you say things and you believe them, but even though you cannot predict them, but you believe them and those things, and then they happen. And then they happen because you're ready for that opportunity, and when it comes, you jump on it, and you rise to the occasion. You know your skills, you believe in yourself, and you just make it happen. It's awesome. I like from saying it to believing it. You know, like because you read these things every day, and you just think it's just like rhetoric. You know, it's just like yeah, of course they say these things and. You know, yeah, you do them too, but who knows if actually things happen or not. But then they do happen because you're doing the right things and you're being ready and you're improving. And a lot of times you think you're doing the right thing because you're doing the right things, things happen. It's not because of that. It's because by constantly doing the right thing, you're going to put yourself in those situation and you're going to be ready for when those situation will occur. And that's why then... you'll have success, and it's pretty amazing to see that I'm making it happen.
Absolutely. Well, Marvin, again, congratulations on an amazing win, man. It was a great performance. Enjoy a little downtime. I know you don't really take a lot of downtime, but enjoy a little downtime around the holidays, and cannot wait to talk to you and get excited for your next fight coming up in 2021.
Thank you, Damon. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.